time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, I'm back. Technically, I am not in studio, but I am back doing my show virtually from my parents' living room. So, hi, everybody. I'm Vanessa Richardson. My co-host is the wonderful Paul Gallant. Did I miss anything?
You missed a lot. First off, though, we all want to check in. How's your dad doing?
You're so sweet. Yeah, I've been open about it on social media just because I had to miss work. And so my dad had a massive widowmaker heart attack. His widowmaker artery was 80% blocked. One of his other arteries was 100% blocked, and another artery was 90% blocked. So this kind of came out of nowhere. My dad's always had a great heart, but he's had multiple sclerosis for 35 years and has been in a wheelchair. So that complicates things. It was really scary, but everybody's prayers, he has felt them. It's meant the world, and our work has been amazing. Paul, you've been amazing. So it's something that I know a lot of you have dealt with. It's having a sick parent or something like this is not rare. It's not unique at all. And I certainly appreciate all of our listeners who reached out, tweeted me. I just got so much love, and we appreciate that. So he is getting heart stents tomorrow. They're not, you know, obviously not confident that open heart surgery would be best for him, just because since he can't walk, his recovery wouldn't work out. But we trust the doctors. He's at St. Vincent's, which is one of the best heart centers in America. So things are looking up, but it's definitely been a journey. And Paul, I certainly appreciate you stepping up and being there.
Absolutely. And look, everyone who's listening right now, we've gotten a lot of texts on the text line and from the folks on Twitch as well, who are wishing you and your dad and your whole family the best. And it's good to hear that things do seem to be on the up. Obviously, all our fingers are crossed, prayers and everything going your way, but it's great to have you back too. We missed a lot. Honestly, there's nothing I was more bummed out about than on Monday not being able to talk about Will Smith slapping the hell out of Chris Rock with you, because I know that we are both on the same page when it comes to stuff like this. We live for this crazy drama that's messy. But yeah, you missed a lot. You missed Deshaun Watson's press conference on Friday.
I know.
We have more Deshaun Watson to get to. We determined that I might be addicted to talking about Deshaun Watson on the show, and that I might need an intervention. I think I might be, honestly. I might be addicted to talking about all of my sports exes, to be perfectly honest. We have a new producer. Yeah. I mean, so where do you want to start? I feel like you got a lot to get off your chest.
Yeah, I do. Let's do some quick hot takes on everything that I missed, because I did do a quick scroll through Twitter to make sure that I knew what was going on. So, hot takes. Hopefully this will be a minute or less. O.J. Simpson weighing in on Will Smith, Chris Rock.
Wait a second.
That just shows how dumb it was.
Wait, O.J. Simpson weighed in on it? How did I miss that?
O.J. Simpson weighed in on it on Twitter and basically said, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Listen, the thing that I couldn't stand about that was people that were like, why are people talking about it? It's not a big deal. I'm like, even if it's staged, somebody got slapped at the Oscars and it was Chris Rock. So it's a big deal by default. Definitely interesting. Sometimes a slap is just a slap, but there seemed to be a lot of history and anger behind that one.
Yeah.
Number two, congratulations to Kevin Burkhardt, the new number one NFL. I'm very good friends with Kevin.
You've been pushing for Kevin Burkhardt ever since we heard about some of the revolving broadcaster chairs.
I was, and I'm surprised I didn't fly to LA and demand it. I figured he would get it, but look, I mean, there's a crowd that says it doesn't matter who broadcasts the game. I could not disagree more. I think it matters. Kevin's a great guy. Became friends with him a couple years ago at the World Series. Joe Buck and him are good friends, and Joe wanted him to get it. So all's well that ends well, and I'm confident that that big game on Sunday with Fox will continue to be just as great as when Joe and Troy did it. Item number three, go Cougs. Great year for Kelvin Sampson. He had an injured roster. Somehow he was still able to make it work, make it as far as they did. Definitely a disappointing loss, and I didn't expect it to be that bad of a game as it was.
It was a tough watch. I mean, no one could score, and especially the Cougs. They won for 20 from outside, but they should not be holding their heads low. That was an incredible run to get to the point where they did. It just stinks that it ended like that, and now we're stuck this weekend, Vanessa, with a bunch of blue bloods that made it to the Final Four. We're going to have to You know, we're not going to talk about North Carolina and Duke. I'm sure you can find that conversation in wherever you fall.
Everywhere.
Kansas and Nova, too. So it's a bit of a bummer, but I'm sure the NCAA is loving it. They're rolling in all the cash right now.
They are rolling in on the cash, but I always, you know, you want that one underdog, whether it's St. Peter's or what, even if it's like a mid, like VCU or something like that, you know,
true.
You want a little bit of that underdog mentality. And that's certainly not there with this Final Four, but we'll watch regardless, of course. Item number four, they need to have the owners meetings in Cleveland or Detroit. These owners do not deserve another free vacation at this, you know, I'm happy for our media friends that were there. But come on.
I don't know.
View's ridiculous.
Look, I mean, Cleveland, Detroit, that's just mean. You know,
it is mean.
They're people too. Just because they're billionaires doesn't mean they're not people. Let them go to Florida and just experience the weirdness. Now, it would be something if they had to go to somewhere actually in Florida, instead of some sort of a resort. So they would have to deal with some of the weird things that you can see in Florida. I don't know. You know, like a guy who may be doing the meth, who's wrestling with the gator in the middle of the street or something like that. I would like a little bit more access to the Floridianess of Florida. But that's a take. I do think, though, that's never going to happen.
It is never going to happen because their boss, they are Roger Goodell's boss.
Yep.
New OT rules. I absolutely love it. You and I think, may disagree on this a little bit. When you look at the stat that 10 out of 12 teams that won playoff coin tosses won the game since 2010, 10 out of 12, it is indicative that at least in playoff games, when everything is on the line, it needs to be a little bit more fair.
Yeah.
What Indy and Philly had suggested was that the overtime rules change for everything, and that did not happen, obviously. I actually like the decision the NFL made. I like that it's staying the way it is during the regular season, but then during the playoffs, each team will get a possession.
It's slightly better. I feel like, though, it still opens itself up for problems down the road. And what happens when both teams score on the first possession? It still goes back to the coin toss, you know? And I think that nowadays with so powerful offenses, all these powerful offenses that we have in the NFL, I think that a lot of them are going to probably score the first two drives of overtime because defenses are generally tired by that point in time. I love Jerome Solomon's column in the Chronicle where he basically said, like, yeah, this is for basically excuse makers and whiners, you know, that they're adding, that they're changing overtime up a little bit. Your suggestion was the best one. Go to a 15-minute overtime.
Yep.
That one, yep. I feel like it's a continuation of the way that the game is played the first four quarters. And on top of that, I mean, okay, 15 minutes of extra playoff football. Who's saying no to that?
All you got to do is add another quarter, guys. I should be commissioner. I've been saying this. And my last take, Deshaun Watson press conference. He really didn't take any accountability. But I will say this. I think that that was under the direction of Rusty Harden. I think that Deshaun said he's not looking, unless I heard wrong, he's not looking to settle these civil cases. He doesn't want to just pay off these women. So if he genuinely doesn't think he did anything wrong, I guess stick to your guns. But it was definitely a little bit of a mess. I don't think people were impressed. It'll come down to whether he can win or not, if the city forgives him and moves on.
It's a little bit harder to believe him every single day. And we're going to play some audio from some of the depositions that, of course, Mr. Anthony Busby released in his peacocking fashion to the public.
Ugh.
So you'll hear some of that audio from Deshaun Watson a little bit later. There's a couple of points where you're like, wait, what? But yeah, he just kept on going back to the same couple of things where I did not assault. I do not disrespect. I've never done this to women ever. And he kept on saying it whenever it seemed like he was perhaps cornered. Very well coached for that press conference, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting too much from it. But when you look at the fact that this was the first time that we had heard from him in, I mean, over a year, I certainly thought that there may be an element of, hey, I know that I at least have a kink or a fetish, or I've reevaluated the way that I go about getting massages. That's what did surprise me a little bit, Paul, is that there wasn't even the, you know what, I'm not going to reach out to women on Instagram anymore. At the very least, I realized that that was odd.
He's a growing
person. There wasn't any of that.
He's a work in progress. He's a vessel of love. you know, just like Will Smith.
A work in progress.
Yeah. Will Smith's, did you see Will Smith's apology after?
I did.
Oh boy, it was a notes app apology too.
I actually didn't think that he needed to apologize.
Oh, well, well, well. Now that is a piping hot take. I mean, Vesta, that's when you should have come in with like, listen, Will Smith, he's fine. He didn't do anything wrong. Chris Rock, he sucks. Take it to the face.
See, I think Chris Rock is hilarious, but I think this is a classic episode of F Around and Find Out. and Chris Rock made a joke about Will Smith's wife. Now, does she cheat on him with August Alsina? Does he cheat on her? Absolutely. Is it a weird situation? Was it possibly staged? Yeah, I think it might have possibly been staged because last year the Oscars had the lowest ratings ever. There's your conspiracy theory. But I don't think Will Smith owed anybody an apology. He was singing Get Jiggy With It at the party afterwards. And Chris Rock seemed to move on.
Man, I'm curious what Chris Rock is really thinking. Because we haven't heard from him. You would think that he would sort of a statement coming back. But we still have it a couple of days later. All we've seen is Adam Sandler say, hey, look, Chris Rock's going on tour soon. I love Chris Rock. That's it.
Yeah, it's been interesting, though. The think pieces crack me up. The like... This is why violence in America has exploded. Like, it's not that deep, guys.
Masculinity, it's, actually, Vanessa. You just don't get it. You don't get what I deal with. I am a toxic man. Toxic masculinity, it runs through my veins. It's a serious condition. I need help.
If I hear terms like that, like gaslighting, toxic masculinity, toxic positivity,
yeah.
I some of these Gen Zers need slap in the face.
It's a dog whistle. Dog whistle for the gaslighting. I don't even know what those two
it's mean. Unbelievable. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we did hear a couple of owners talk about the Deshaun Watson contract, and we also heard about his deposition. Plus, Goodell speaks about Deshaun Watson as well. We know some of you are tired of him, but he is still the top story in the NFL. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So even though I'm in Indiana in my parents' living room and Paul's in Houston, we can see each other over Zoom, and I've really enjoyed his dancing to 70s music.
Oh, this
it's made
groovy.
My day.
This is groovy, Vanessa.
This is very groovy.
I'm jealous of your couch, though. That couch looks comfy. All the chairs here, for whatever reason, out in the lobby, every single one of them is leaning to the right in some way, shape, or form. They're like health hazards. And you are sitting in this couch. You got your tea. What is that? Maca tea? Oh, my God.
No, it's coffee. And it's in coffee. A Disney World. It's in a Disney World
cup. Oh, do you have cute mugs at your parents' place, too? That's fantastic.
My parents have the cutest mugs. All right, so the owners met in Florida, all of the NFL owners, and they took, of course, they had the annual coaches picture, which is always hilarious, with Ron Rivera and Andy Reid wearing Hawaiian shirts.
Sean McVay owners, looked hot, obviously. Dude. I mean, I hate to say it, but Sean McVay looked really attractive.
Sean McVay is, listen, Sean McVay, who's the Matt LaFleur? I think you know that my pick, though, Kevin Stefanski.
Well, yes, he's a little bigger, right?
He's a little short. He's bigger, but... But he's Kevin Stefanski. Look, they all looked good. They all looked very nice.
They did.
They all looked very presentable.
Except for Matt Rhule.
Including also, Lovie Smith looked fresh.
He did. Lovie Smith looked good. But he looked healthy. He looked ready to go. I feel a lot better about an older coach taking over the Houston Texans. Entirely based
because
off of
he looked, because he looked good.
Listen, I'm shallow. I judge things based off of appearances. I'm going to hell. It's fine.
At least you can admit it. We knew that owners in the NFL would not love Deshaun Watson's contract.
No.
Not so much because of the accusations, but because of how many players are going to be owed contracts. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes just signed one, but does Patrick Mahomes go to the Hunt family and say, hey, Deshaun got more guaranteed money than I do? So I think we all knew, and this had been a discussion, that owners may not love that Deshaun Watson got $230 million guaranteed. That was proven. Steve Bisciotti, who's an outspoken owner of the Baltimore Ravens, said that he was not a fan and he wasn't sure that Deshaun should have gotten that much money guaranteed. And it's no shock. Look what his situation is. Lamar Jackson, obviously going to be owed another contract soon. And Lamar Jackson, you have to think, may go to Steve Bisciotti and say, hey, I actually won the MVP. I've actually produced more wins.
And Lamar Jackson's in a weird situation himself because I think he's the only quarterback in the NFL that doesn't have a traditional agent. It's his mom.
It's his mom. And it is his mother.
I mean, this almost, if you're not a professional agent, if you will, this deal with Deshaun Watson helps you out a lot. You can just point at this and say, I want that. Now, are you going to get it? You can make the case that he deserves it more than Deshaun. I mean, he's won an MVP. He has run for 1,000-plus yards and set records at quarterback over the last couple of seasons. And even though he got hurt last year, he's really good at avoiding contact, which is, I think, a big concern that a lot of people have about him and the longevity of his career. So, yeah, the owners aren't mad about a guy that has all of this baggage with him getting that contract. They're mad that all of a sudden someone gave that out, and this might be something that they will have to do going forward. But, I mean, this is, Vanessa, I think, something that was eventually going to come to the NFL, a point where they are going to look at quarterbacks as NBA stars and say, hey, I mean, this is just the going rate for a great quarterback. And you saw them trying to get away from it, you know, after the Jared Goff contract, after the Carson Wentz contract. But it's going to be hard to stay away from it when you realize that these guys say you don't give them that kind of contract. They might do what Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson just did.
Russell Wilson being very passive aggressive, saying, I don't want to leave Seattle, but then listing the teams that he would flirt with. So it definitely could be interesting on that front. The full quote from Steve Bisciotti was, I'm trying to answer that when I had a reaction to it. And I'm thinking, damn, I wish they hadn't guaranteed the whole contract, Bisciotti said Tuesday at the league meetings. Quote, I don't know that he should have been the first guy to get a fully guaranteed contract. To me, that's something that is groundbreaking and it'll make negotiations harder with others. Bisciotti then added, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to play that game, you know? We shall see. If I was bogged down in negotiations with Lamar, then maybe I would have a quicker reaction. Well, Steve, you gave us the exact reaction that you had, which is, I don't know that Deshaun should be the first person to get... And when I heard that, I did think that maybe Steve Bisciotti was alluding to, I don't know that a guy that has 22 civil lawsuits on the table should be the first guy to get it. But he also could have just meant Deshaun's record and the fact that Deshaun hasn't taken a team deep in the playoffs.
It could be that. I think anything coming out of the Ravens just reeks of full of crap, though, if they're going to take some sort of a moral stand. I mean, yeah, Ray Rice, but Terrell Suggs like poured bleach on his girlfriend, and what happened to him? Ray Lewis, obviously, too, with his own situation, if you will. The guy's got a statue outside the stadium, even though he didn't cooperate with a murder investigation back in Atlanta, Georgia in 2000. So, I mean, the Ravens don't really have a leg to stand on from the morality side of things. It's entirely because they are looking at Lamar Jackson. He's the next one on the docket as far as big-time quarterbacks that deserve probably an extension. He doesn't want to give him the big one. And this is how he plays that game. And he's hoping that other owners are going to stand with him. But the reality is, it is now squarely in his court. That's it. No other owner's court. He has to make this decision, and the decision became more difficult for him.
We did hear Roger Goodell speak about Deshaun Watson. About a fourth or more of the questions were about Deshaun Watson.
Wow.
Now, there are questions about, will he be put on the commissioner's exempt list? I did not get the idea that that was a possibility, but here's what Roger Goodell had to say about the situation involving number four.
Well, Albert, I think we were very clear over the last year that the civil cases were in play over the last year also. The only thing that's changed is the criminal element has been at least resolved. And that was an important element in the context of the commissioner exempt that we discussed with our Players Association. So that was an important, if the criminal had proceeded, that would more likely have triggered a commissioner exempt. I think at this point, a civil case in and of itself would not do that. If there's a violation of the personal conduct policy, that may trigger something, but that would more likely trigger some kind of discipline in some fashion.
So when I hear that, I hear that it is either a fine or a suspension and that commissioner's exempt list is off the table.
And they're going to get ripped for anything that they give out. And I'm curious as to just how far they're willing to go, because look, regardless of what actually happened, the NFL wants to look strong here. They love rattling their saber. I remember last year going into the season that they were saying, listen, if you're unvaccinated, and your team has an epidemic, not only will you forfeit the game, we will take all of the game checks for the entirety of the game from the team that didn't even test positive for COVID or something like that. But you knew that you didn't believe them. You knew they weren't actually going to do that. They weren't going to forfeit a game. They weren't going to cancel a game. No, absolutely not. They're not going to just piss away money, you know? But in this situation, I don't believe that anything that they do will be even a fraction of the kind of punishment that Watson probably deserves. I mean, he sat out last year. That wasn't a suspension. That was him sitting out and the Texans basically accommodating him. And I guess they could fine him, but the way that the contract was set up, which Roger Goodell did talk about, is a way where you really can't take money away from him unless you decide to do something along the lines of fine him on a per-game basis based off of the average amount of money he would be making per game check over the entirety of his contract. So I did a little math, $230 million divided by 85 games, 17 games over five seasons. That would be $2.7 million a game. I guess you could fine him something like that, but just based off of precedent, Vanessa, like we've never seen a player get a fine for more than $760,000. It was a long time ago.
Which was that?
Jamal Lewis. He got drug charges in 2004. He went to jail for a couple of months. It was drug possession, and I think with intent to distribute or something like that. He played in the league for four more years, so he got $760,000 a fine. Ray Lewis was only fined, you know, by today's standards, $250,000 for failing to cooperate with police in the double murder investigation. Sean Rogers once got $400,000 a fine for being arrested at the airport with a gun, and there's a couple other ones for $100,000. Ndamukong Suh for being dirty. Brian Urlacher for wearing a vitamin water hat to the Super Bowl. One of those things is not like the other. I think that the NFLPA would throw an absolute hissy fit if the league all of a sudden decided to fine him based off of not his salary for this coming season, but based off of the totality. I don't think that the NFL is going to do anything really that substantial when it comes to Deshaun Watson.
We will see. And I think that there are going to be strong reactions either way. If there were that strong of reactions with Will Smith and Chris Rock in the slap, you can only imagine what will happen. All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, some of Deshaun Watson's deposition has been leaked. Plus, Paul tries to take the high road. That's next.
Mm-hmm. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Wednesday. Somebody on our Twitch line, at Todd the Show, said Vanessa being up north really makes me hungry for Steak and Shake. Steak and Shake's good.
Steak burgers.
The steak burgers, they have a really good garlic burger. I mean, it will destroy your insides, but if you ever need a late night meal.
Garlic is fantastic.
Steak and Shake. Yeah, you can never have too much.
Worth making your breath bad on a date, in my honest opinion. Other thing about Steak and Shake that they have, that more fast food places need to have, the ability to add vanilla syrup to your Coca-Cola so you can have a proper vanilla Coke.
You love vanilla Coke.
I'm obsessed. It's the best soda that there is. I remember there was a commercial back in the day. I think it's a little bit more syrupy, if you will, when you get it from some place like Johnny Rockets or some place that actually pours the syrup in, as opposed to doing it the way that you can get it from a bottle where it's like already pre-mixed. It's a little bit sweeter. Anyway,
it's a better experience.
Tricks, baby. Tricks.
Steak and Shake's good. All right. Deshaun Watson had some depositions that came out, and I believe this was from Cleveland 8 News, the Fox affiliate up in Cleveland. Of course, Deshaun Watson now playing for the Browns. I wasn't overly surprised by anything that I saw, but it certainly was interesting, Paul, to see Deshaun Watson in that element, speaking what he says is his truth to others.
It's consistent with Friday in that he either believes that he is extremely innocent to such a degree that he can speak the way that he does, or he is borderline sociopathic. I guess you can make your own judgment, but watching that press conference and watching this, I mean, the guy is, I feel like he's the kind of person that would find a way to pass a polygraph test with the way that he was, but I don't know that the answers he was giving are answers that make you feel any more confident in the idea that he didn't do this stuff, or at least some of these stuff that have been accused.
Yeah, the videos definitely went viral. Here is one of the small snippets of Deshaun Watson's deposition. We have that audio for you.
That's why I saw it on Instagram.
So you think you saw a story that involved her?
Definitely possible.
Definitely possible. Did you find her attractive?
That wasn't my intention, sir.
I didn't ask you what your intentions were.
I can't answer that. I have a girlfriend, so that wasn't my intention, sir.
Okay, so you can't answer that because you have a girlfriend?
Because that's not what I was looking for.
What did you want from her?
Just a massage.
Was she a massage therapist?
Yes, sir.
Licensed?
I'm not sure, sir.
Trained?
I'm not sure, sir.
Schooled?
I'm not sure, sir.
Did you tell the Texans you were doing that?
No, sir.
Did you tell your trainer you were doing that?
No, sir.
Pretty risky to go to some place you've never been before, to have somebody you didn't really know, you didn't know anything about their skill level, to give you a massage. So what I'm trying to figure out, Mr. Watson, is why you would post something on Instagram suggesting that you were in New York City when you were instead in Houston getting a massage.
On the advice of my lawyer, I assert my rights under the Fifth Amendment.
Jeez.
So it just is so uncomfortable. Obviously, the other lawyer that you hear is Tony Busby. Tony mm-hmm. Busby is representing the 22 women that are involved in the civil lawsuits. Tony Busby has his own like weird antics on social media.
This getting leaked is one of those antics, definitely.
Absolutely, 100%. That's the thought process for sure. So a lot of awkward questions. Did you find her attractive? Of course, Deshaun saying he has a girlfriend, yet Deshaun had also said he had consensual interactions with some of these women. So very uncomfortable. But those are the kinds of questions that were being asked of number four.
What a lame response. Did you find her attractive? I have a girlfriend. So, okay, so you're the best boyfriend ever. This is not a situation where, if I'm not mistaken, now, I don't know if this changes when you're married, but a wild guess, when you're dating someone, you might still be attracted to other people, and having a girlfriend does not prevent that. Right?
Right.
Wild guess. I could be wrong. Not speaking from experience at all. Not speaking from I'm like a dog that sees a squirrel when I see someone that I find attractive walk into a bar. No, I'm not like that at all. That was a lame ass excuse that he put there trying to weasel his way out of actually answering that question. But later on, Vanessa, too, I mean, if you're the Texans and you hear all of this, where the guy is getting massages, forget about what happened at the massages. Busby makes some good points there that, all right, so they're not licensed. They're just random folks that you saw online and you didn't tell the team about it or the trainer about it. Like, what would have happened if you had a situation like we supposedly had with Carlos Correa and his now wife, where wasn't he getting a massage and all of a sudden he like broke a rib? Like, that's, I suppose,
that was
possible.
The story, right? Paul. That was the alleged story.
It was the alleged story. And you know what? If that's the alleged story, that should be enough for any Houston athlete to probably think twice about getting a massage from somebody. Even if it wasn't true. I don't know. That's my takeaway from that whole situation back in the day, which was, I thought that was really funny. The Carlos Correa, Daniela situation with the broken ribs.
That was, what actually happened, what the story was, maybe we'll never know because there will not be any depositions to Carlos Correa. There were other snippets of this that were released, and part of them involved a question with a towel, and we have that audio as well.
He brought his own towel.
In the depositions, Watson also faced questions about driving about a half hour out of town for a massage.
Meeting a woman at her mother's home and taking his own towel.
You don't think that's a little bit strange?
Can be, but I mean, we're just communicating, so.
I mean, seriously, Deshaun, you don't think that's just a little bit weird?
I'm serious too, sir.
Well, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just trying to figure out. Do you think that's a little bit weird?
I mean, it is what it is.
You are kind of a little bit.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't in that situation? It's weird. Look, I think it's totally fair in a question situation, a deposition situation, for someone to make judgments, because the whole thing is weird. He had at least 23 massage therapists who have complained about him. I'm sure there were more who maybe didn't feel comfortable complaining, or maybe nothing happened at those actual massages. But we're talking about 22, 23. The whole thing is weird to begin with. Bringing in your own towel seems a little bit weird, too. Now, maybe they ask you to take your own towel. I don't know. Whatever the case, it was funny seeing him squirm. It's just entirely disgusting just thinking about why he might have brought his own towel. You know, I suppose maybe there are no towels there because they're doing this at a mother's place. But I mean, I don't know. This seems like the kind of thing that maybe you want to keep your own towel so that there's no evidence to be collected, if you will.
There's always going to be questions on why he brought his own towel. And look, as odd as Tony Busby is, and as much as I disagree with a lot of his antics, there are questions that need to be answered. And one of those is why Deshaun Watson was reaching out to women that were not certified massage therapists. This is Cleveland's problem now. And shout out to the Fox affiliate, the Investigates team with Fox 8 in Cleveland for providing us with that audio. But we'll see what happens. I do know that it at least was refreshing. Maybe refreshing is the wrong word, but to hear Deshaun talk about this, because a lot of times he's just chose to, you know, give it, plead the fifth and use that right.
That's the most that we're going to get from him on that front. And
probably ever.
It's still not much. He seems pretty convinced that he's going to be able to fight this off. And you know what? If he tries to fight it off, that Vanessa could be good for the Texans. We found out yesterday, because this might delay the process. And all of a sudden, we might see Deshaun Watson potentially, you know, not having all of these situations resolved. And yeah, I guess the commissioner said that they won't put him on the exempt list, but do you really think that they're going to want him playing while there are still some civil investigations going, especially when it's pretty clear that Busby is going to continue to leak whatever stuff he gets going forward? It's going to be small black eye after small black eye after small black eye for the NFL. They probably want him off to the side entirely until the whole thing's resolved.
I think the NFL does, but you know what? To that point, I don't know what Cleveland wants. Peter King was just on ESPN Cleveland, the radio station, and said, quote, "The Haslams," which are the Browns owners, "the Haslams were so aggressive in trying to get Deshaun Watson. I think there's a lot of people in the NFL just shaking their heads, both with teams and in the league office." I agree. I think there's a lot of people around the NFL, especially with other teams, that, yes, they understand Deshaun Watson is a great football player. But when you look at the amount of money he was guaranteed, when you look at the fact that they were able to structure that contract so that any fines will come out of that $1 million, there's going to be a lot of questions that people from other teams have.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess now we're at a point, Vanessa, we were discussing this a little bit yesterday, where maybe we are close to not talking about Deshaun Watson anymore.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so? No.
Here's the thing. The NFL is the most popular sport in America, and it's not even close. Deshaun Watson is a quarterback in the NFL, and this is unprecedented circumstances. So we'll talk about other things. We're going to talk about the Astros actually coming up, but unfortunately, the Deshaun Watson conversation is not going
away.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Justin Verlander pitches at spring training, and happy birthday to an Astros superstar. What can we expect from that superstar this year? That's next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, well, we saw Justin Verlander pitch yesterday at spring training. It had been a while. He went four innings, Paul. What did you see that you liked or that you didn't like?
Well, strikeouts are there. Six strikeouts. Only one walk. Two hits allowed. It's not like he's going up against the
right.
You know, the opening day lineup and stuff, but he looked good. He was hitting 94, 95 miles per hour. You hope that velocity can continue to ramp up towards where, you know, it's been in the past.
I'm sure that he's getting to that point. And I'm just glad to see him back out there. It was interesting to see the announcement, though, that he's not going to be the opening day starter. That broke basically right before I jumped on the air yesterday. That came from Dusty Baker. We also heard from Justin Verlander on that front. And here is what Verlander had to say about it.
We have a team that's more than capable, obviously. I, you know, wasn't here last year and or really the year before at all. And these guys showed how great they are. So, you know, opening day is only opening day on the first game. After that, you know, you're just part of a five-man rotation.
He's saying all the right things here, Vanessa. You know, last year was awkward because he wasn't really there a lot. And
right.
I think there is still some making good that he has to do in the Astros clubhouse.
Because he didn't even come to the game.
Exactly. I mean, that's weird. And look.
Like most injured players come to the games and sit in suites or in the dugout.
He is a pitcher. Pitchers have different expectations attached to them. He's also one of the best pitchers that we've seen over the last 30 years or so. But I feel like when you heard him say those things, he's taken the right steps towards getting back. He's saying, look, I mean, I'd want to be the opening day starter, but they were clearly fine without me last year. You have to say stuff like that to get yourself back into the good graces of the rest of the clubhouse. And yeah, that's a nice step forward, I think. I'm assuming that things have probably been made good by this point in time. I think that there would be more salt had he left this offseason. But since he has signed back, you got to do the little things, and this is one of the little things, I think. And it seems like it's going to be Framber Valdez who gets the ball the opening day.
62 pitches, 4 scoreless innings against the Nationals, struck out 6, walked 1, allowed 2 hits. Verlander induced 12 swings and misses and threw 45 strikes. That is per Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle, who, of course, has boots on the ground at spring training. So we'll see. How do you feel about this Astros team going into this season? Obviously, we know no more Correa. Verlander, we'll see. Lance McCullers Jr. does not seem like he's going to be ready nearly as soon as he hoped he would be.
Well, Jeremy Peña has been playing well in spring training. And we don't get to see it the same way that the guys with the boots on the ground, Chandler Rome, Brian McTaggart, some of the others, Allison Futter, etc. We don't get to see it the same way that they do. But I guess I like what I'm hearing about Jeremy Peña. I just have zero expectations. And I feel like for someone like him, just don't kid yourself. If you are looking for this guy to turn into some sort of superstar player, you're asking for too much. You've seen some really rosy reports coming out of you know, Florida, but I still am waiting to see it myself before I actually believe it. I have seen a couple of highlights. I saw him make a nice play at shortstop, like diving to his left on a ball that was lined up the middle to make a diving catch. So seems like as a fielder, he's pretty good. But, you know, hitting is a totally different story. And he is right now the guy that you're looking at in the Astros lineup as the weak point until proven otherwise.
Happy birthday. Alex Bregman turns 28 today. Obviously, superstar for the Astros. Has had some health issues, but expecting him to be strong this year. What do you expect from Alex Bregman as we are in the middle of spring training?
That makes me feel old. He's 28.
Yeah, 28.
Yeah. I'm getting up there. So he's got to be better than he was in the World Series. I'm sure that he's been beating himself up over it since then. A couple of my friends actually ran into him at the rodeo cook-off. And they were like, thank you for 2017. Thank you for being here, blah, 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 stuff like that. I bet he's put a lot of pressure on himself after the way that the season ended. And it's kind of an unfair pressure to put on yourself, you know, like not sometimes you're going to be cold in the World Series. Sometimes you're not going to be on fire. But I would imagine that that is something he's put a lot of pressure on himself to come out of the gate swinging. And, you know, he can be streaky. That's a player that you would like to see a little bit more consistency from this year because, you know, he's one of your highest paid players. And, you know, same thing for Jose Altuve. Are they still going to be able to do things the way that they're doing? We'll see.
What's the deal with the bleach blonde hair on Alex Bregman?
Do you like it?
Do you not like?
I don't mind.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. It reminds me of like when you're in high school and the swim team or the baseball team is going to sectionals and they all like do green or blonde hair. And I thought that it was just going to be there for a week and it's still there.
I used to want frosted tips so badly.
No.
Well, it was a different time, Vanessa. You don't get it. I mean, you're young. You know, back.
No, I remember.
Back
I
in
just
2003.
Frosted tips.
It was 2003. It was a different time. Everyone was doing it. You know, I had my puka shell necklace and I wanted my frosted tips. Whoa, Listen, Sean Mapes behind the glass laughing at me right now. You don't get it. You young kids don't get it. Like, this is just before your time. It was a symbol of status to have frosted tips. Yeah, my parents can afford to give me bleach blonde tips. What? What's up, Thayer Academy classmates? Shorecrest Preparatory School classmates? I'm sorry.
God.
I'm about that
life. Listen to this rich kid on the other end of the Zoom call right now naming his schools. What were the name of your schools?
Thayer Academy, Shorecrest Preparatory School. Which was douchier? It's probably the latter. But first one looked like Hogwarts. It was weird going from class to class. You had all these like giant, random, like way too expensive buildings just smack in the middle of this nice neighborhood. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I wanted frosted tips, whatever. So I have no problem with the bleached hair thing. I mean, a lot of players have been doing it. You saw, you know.
I had puka shells, by the way. I liked puka shells.
I've thought about bringing it back. Is it too late? Is it too late for me, Vanessa? Can I do it?
I think that if you're Andy Reid or Ron Rivera and you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt in the NFL coaches photo,
I do wear Hawaiian shirts a lot. So maybe, okay, so this is going to be my Hawaiian shirt accessory is a puka shell necklace. I'm going to bring it back. Let's see what happens. People might think it's a choker, though.
I recently wore puka shells. My dad's best friend passed away, and he wanted Hawaiian shirts at a celebration of life. So I wore puka shells. And my mom was like, are those from when you were in middle school? And I said, yeah. Hung on to them.
You kept them. Good for you. Yeah.
I did.
I don't even know what happened to mine. I used to wear shark tooth necklaces from time to time, too. Like, high school Paul was, like, trying to be edgy. He was trying to find his place in the world. Also wearing jeans with flip-flops, because in Florida, you could actually wear flip-flops to high school, which is great. Like, I actually missed that, wearing flip-flops. We had a dress code where, okay, if you don't wear a shirt with a collar, you have to tuck it into your jeans, which was stupid. Like, who tucks a t-shirt?
Wait, what?
I know. I thought that was the stupidest policy ever. So I always wore a polo. I never tucked the polo in, so it was like this baggy polo, jeans, and flip-flops. That's what I wore to school every day, with a puka shell necklace. Florida!
I love hearing these private school stories. American sports world, Paul, we were talking about this. There's some drama.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm just jealous of how awesome things can be outside of the United States. Don't you wish from time to time, in the world of sports, you would see the absolute bedlam that you saw in a game between Senegal and Egypt. So this was like a World Cup qualifier. And Mohamed Salah is one of the better soccer players in the world. He's got a penalty kick. And if he hits this penalty kick, he's going to win the game for Egypt. But the game's in Senegal, this World Cup qualifier. And in this situation, he is standing in front of the net, and I kid you not, and I've actually retweeted this. Akalon says that's Sports Vanessa. There are like 8, 9, 10 lasers from the crowd just being shined into his face. It was like when Brock Osweiler for the Texans was playing against the Raiders in Mexico City, and some of the savages in that crowd were shining lasers at him. Same deal. And this guy, poor guy, he's like
trying. This is really intense and really dramatic.
It looks like he is at a rave, except for he's on a soccer field. He's looking down. He's trying to collect his thoughts. He's about to shoot, and he misses. And he misses. Like, he is a great player. He misses by a mile. And since he misses, Senegal ends up winning the shootout, and Egypt is out of the World Cup. This stuff, if this happened in the United States of America, all of those fans would be in jail probably. But at Senegal, they're like, yeah, it's fine. We got to the World Cup. No big deal. It's incredible that things like this can still happen.
I do like it, and I do wish we did a little bit more of it. You know,
more lasers to the crowd. Yeah, come on.
I like fun things like that.
Lasers.
Like Reggie Wayne used to come to a Colts training camp, and he would either take like an Indy car or a helicopter, or one year he came with a bunch of construction workers and had construction hats on that said like Reggie's Construction. I like things like that. Well, I think it's fun.
Did you
the
see
lasers are very intense.
In Japanese baseball, there's a guy who is the manager of the what's the team? The Nippon Ham Fighters. His name is Tsuyoshi Shinjo. His nickname is Big Boss. And for his managerial debut with the Nippon Ham Fighters, he literally rode in on a hovercraft, like a hover motorcycle. He put on a helmet in this dome stadium, it looks like, and he's just riding
around in the middle of the air to go to manage this baseball team. Opening day for the major leagues is so boring by comparison. It's like, all right, it's the family. We're back out at the ballpark. Oh, I'm going to tip my cap to the fans, and we'll all have ourselves a nice hot dog and watch the game. And in Japan, they've got, like, hovercrafts that are welcoming the bleeping managers into the stadium. I'm sure they had, like, indoor fireworks and some other wacky stuff. Like, they get it. They understand that they have to do some of the stuff that the NBA's been doing for a long time to keep people excited. And the U.S., meanwhile, we're just boring. We're boring with our opening days. It's lame.
MLB, Rob Manfred, step it up.
Come on, more hovercrafts, that's for sure.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Deshaun Watson still very, very much in the news on this Wednesday. What the NFL owners said about it at the league meetings in Florida, that's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.